Let's welcome to the pregame show as we are testing for the sound of music. And once I determine that the sound is good, we will get on with this program, whatever you want to call it. So we'll ask for sound. But today's pregame show is presented by Mother Fletcher's Meatless Meatballs. That's right, Mother Fletcher's Meatless Meatballs. It's not easy to make meatballs, but when you make Mother Fletcher's Meatless Meatballs, you save a lot of time, a lot of trouble, and a lot of embarrassment. Mother Fletcher's Meatless Meatballs. They may taste good, they may not, but if you have company over for a meatballs and spaghetti dinner, when the meatball falls in their lap, it bounces back right on the plate. You will not have that embarrassment. No stains, no pains, no good taste. But try Mother Fletcher's Meatless Meatballs. They bounce back. Okay, welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. That's the wake-up call to the Legion and to the female Legion that's still sleeping. But she'll be up. Anyway, we welcome you to a lovely Monday morning. It's a Monday morning. And, of course, what's Monday morning without the Bee Don and the Beach Bum and the Beer Man and the Brooks? Love the bees all together. Then they got the Greg and the Crim and the Dirty Eck. And we'll be hearing from Dirty Eck this week. The premiere of the Dirty Eck show. Coming up, Dodger Rabbit is here, driver's side. Eddie the Heckman, the chairman of the board, the Fantasy Phil, the Hernan, Jeremy Gibbs, Junior J.R. Slice, Michael the Itch in the kitchen table, Trader Jim, and a cast of thousands, so welcome aboard. Okay, a couple of things, and of course, we got to start off with the hue and the cry. The hue is the Darvish, the cry is the Milwaukee Brewers. You Darvish, of course, and, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole thing. Great signing, no question. But even, it's, you know, people are saying that, all right, he has a two-year opt-out. Now, I know Unholy Toledo said something in Facebook about he'll only be there for 2 years. They hope he's only there for 2 years. You'll see more opt-outs. You'll see more of that stuff after 1 year. That's the name of the game now. And for pitchers, let me tell you something. The Chicago Cubs hope that Hugh Darvish opts out after 2 years. They hope he opts out. All right? And the pitchers, they hope they opt out. The Yankees wouldn't have touched Tanaka had he opted out. Okay? As far as the hitters go, that's a different story. But the pitchers, give them all a two-year. Give the Arrieta, give the Lynn, give all these guys a two-year opt-out. One-year opt-out is good, too. And there you have it. So two-year opt-out, not so bad. All you Cub fans with the wall, he's got an opt-out. An opt-out would be great. Absolutely, Michael Itch in your kitchen table. An opt-out is what the... So it's not for the player. People think the opt-out really helps the player, and maybe it does, but it helps the team even more, especially when it comes to pitching. Okay? So just etch that one in your kitchen table. I got a couple of things. First of all, here's the... Genius of the day. All right, let's hit the deal with the genius of the day. And this is a little bit more, you know, this really will tell me if I'm a genius. If you're a genius, we already know that I'm whatever I am. Theo Epstein signs Yu Darvish. Everybody calls him a genius for the way he did and getting the catcher, whatever his name is, hit 218, his friend. But in 2013... Theo Epstein was not a genius. He was freaking lucky. Tell me why Theo Epstein was lucky in 2018 as we welcome Walter into the chat room and Easy Kill along with him. Good morning, fellas. So why was Theo Epstein lucky? Not a genius in 2013, but he was lucky. And David is here. Good morning to David and the Beach Bum. Good morning to you all, everybody. Nice White Sox gal, good morning. So why was Theo, who's calling me now? Are you kidding me? Who's calling at this hour? You got to be kidding. It's probably Bob from Long Island. All right, let's see. Hello? And That's it. That's what happens on Sirius, okay? Same thing. They're calling me at home because they want to get on the air. Okay, anyway, so why was Theo Epstein a... Okay, there you go. All right, B-Don. So, yeah, he was lucky. You're right, B-Don is lucky. Mark Appel was the guy that he wanted, and Houston swooped in to grab him with the number one pick in 2013. And then what happened? A fellow by the name of Chris Bryant happened to be sitting there, and he scooped him up. So much for the genius and so much for luck, okay? There you go. Now, on this weekend's programming on Sirius, if you missed it, a couple of things, and really got to pay attention to all these things. On Saturday of January 20th, and I probably didn't emphasize this enough, Matt Breen, beat writer extraordinaire from the Philadelphia Inquirer, went on the record as saying he believed that Scott Kingery could have the similar impact to Rhys Hoskins. Okay, Matt Breen, Philadelphia Inquirer, follows the team, says Scott Kingery is going to be an impact player similar to Rhys Hoskins. Now, I sang Valentine's Day songs to the callers. Nice going. Yesterday, on Saturday, Mark Zuckerman, writes for Masson, covers the Washington Nationals, reported that, and this has been out there, but I'll say it again, looks like Trey Turner is going to bat second. Adam Eaton's going to bat first. Hopefully Trey Turner bats second. And, of course, the history is well documented, and there were reasons for it, you know, with Hamilton and Gordon batting the leadoff. But the leadoff hitters steal twice as many bases as the number two guys. And when you lose Davey Lopes, arguably the greatest coach of stolen bases in the history of baseball, you just don't know. You don't know the philosophy of the new manager, and that's something that we'll talk about in days to come. So for those of you, now look, Trey Turner, his game is stolen bases, no question. They're not going to take his game away from him, that we know. But for those of us who think that there's a possibility of Trey Turner stealing 70 bases, I don't think that's going to happen. Don't think that's going to happen, so we'll see. And then yesterday, and here's what you want to know. Yesterday we had a scout, a Latin American scout, also a big-time fantasy player, Oscar Pareto Rojas, very good friend of Craig's. He came on, had a terrific segment with him, and came out with a player that you may not be following too closely, and his name is Frenchy Cordero. Now, what he said, Frenchy Cordero is a can't-miss 2020 guy. I'll say that again. This is from Oscar Pareto Rojas. Look him up on Twitter. Well-known scout, Latin American scout, also plays a lot of fantasy baseball. He said Frenchy Cordero will be a 2020 guy. Okay? So there you go. So those are the three things that we learned from the weekend shows. Mark Zuckerman says Trey Turner, just watch your expectations with the stolen bases, batting second, and without Davey Lopes and a new philosophy on stealing. Matt Breen says Scott Kingery is going to be an impact player, could be to the degree of Rhys Hoskins or Rhys Hoskins, either one of those Hoskins guys. And Oscar Pareto Rojas says Frenchy Cordero is someone that you must pay attention to. Okay, so those are the three things there. Now, a couple other things from the news desk. Arizona, we all know that the pitcher, Bradley, is giving Arizona a lot of flexibility, okay? So Bradley will be a starter. He wants to be a starter. They want him to be a starter. Cordero is equal to Keon Broxton Jr. Well, maybe. Okay. We'll see. But you'll get the stolen bases. You'll get the home runs. Bradley is giving them a lot of flexibility, and here's what it is. But eventually he will be a starter this year. So you could bet your sweet bibby if you drafted Bradley, you'll get a starter. But for now, they're giving him the flexibility of trading or holding on to Patrick Corbin for now. And they want to get rid of Patrick Corbin to get some salary down, and maybe that will be the key to signing J.D. Martinez. So that's number one. He's there for a possible closing candidate. We'll see who becomes the closer. Welcome to Johnny Q in the chat room. Nice to have you aboard. And then he's also there for the effector, the setup man. So flexibility, as the team is exploring its options, flexibility of a starter, a setup man, the effector, or the closer. And so Bradley performing a major role right now, helping Arizona absolutely form its team. Okay, so Krim is here. Did I say hello to Krim? And here he is, the great Cha-Cha, who pointed out that I look like Toady Fields. Okay, now, in Boston, remember, now Rafael Devers hit .284 with 10 home runs and 30 RBIs. 20 years old, okay? 20 years old. He played in, what, 55, 56 games? But let's not forget Sam Travis, who he batted .380 in 48 plate appearances against lefties. Let's not forget Sam Travis. If they don't sign J.D. Martinez, Sam Travis could be somebody. I'm telling you, because the key thing here is they want to limit Hanley Ramirez at bats. On paper, look, we know that they need a boost in power, but it's very important that they have a player, and I think the Red Sox will get somebody. Very important that they have a player who could help explain why Hanley Ramirez is going to be on the bench. Remember, 497 plate appearances by Zelmo. Yeah, that's right. Zelmo has made 497 appearances in the chat room. Terrific, Zelmo. But if Hanley makes 497 plate appearances, they have to pay him something that I'm not going to pay Zelmo, and that's $22 million for next year. Okay, so just keep an eye on Sam Travis. Keep an eye, especially if the Red Sox decide that maybe they'll go Peter Falk. Yeah, I didn't put that one up. Nice going, Beach Bum. So maybe if they don't make a move, maybe Sam Travis is the guy we look for. Okay? I think they will make a move, but let's see. So we'll see about that one, okay? Also, Kyle Schwarber could be a difference maker. If he had struggles last year, okay? In the second half, it was bad, okay? So he has to recover from his struggles last year and looks more like he did in the second half where, in the first half, he hit .178 and was demoted. So let's got to keep an eye on Schwarber, no doubt about it. Nick Senzel from Cincinnati. Now, he was the best player the Reds had in their minors last year, and he played better after a promotion to Double A. He's 22, and he's got a skill that is very rare in the Cincinnati system, so pay attention to Nick Senzel. He's an athlete. He's athletic. He gets on base, and he's got gap-to-gap power. All right, so the Reds have Eugenio Suarez and Scooter Gennett, and let's see. They could put him in the outfield. They could put him at second base. We'll see what happens, but don't discount Nick Senzel. He is going to start playing this year in the major leagues. No question about it. Now, the Brewers, they say that they made a strong offer for Darvish. They confirmed that, but I don't know. Anyway, here's a team that is going to, they don't care what they spent. They're going to spend over $100 million. They're going to have $100 million contract. So they're going to get somebody. Absolutely, they're going to get somebody. Minnesota, after failing to land you, Darvish, they may go after Chris Archer. Okay? They made the club a trade offer as recently as 2 weeks ago. So Tampa has some interest in Max Kepler as part of a, but it's a trade. Kepler, with a year and 153 days of service time, is under team control for 5 more years. And that appeals to the Rays. He's 25. He hit .240-something, 19 homers. So Archer, and all right, so look, Minnesota's going to have to give up something to get something. Isn't that how usually it goes? So we'll see. And, of course, here's some interim information on the Mets. You may have heard one of these things, but you haven't heard the other. Number one, 2 months of rest should have healed his arm, but Zach Wheeler wanted to make sure that the problems have been fixed. get that? He shot himself in the stomach. Not with a gun, with a needle. All right? So he took an injection in the stomach, okay, and prescription medicine. It's a hormone. I don't know what it's called. I know what it's called, but it's called PTH, okay? And it helps form new bone and increase bone mineral density and bone strength. So Zach Wheeler throwing well. We know that Steven Matz is throwing well, and he had also some surgery where they took the nerves. Nerves are in a little channel in your elbow and in your body, so they moved that outside the area where he felt a little pain last year. He says he feels nothing. Feels nothing. That's it. But the big news is the New York Mets, who we always know they need a center fielder. And this news may tell you to get somebody who's not being drafted, okay? And it's all about Juan Ligueras. He's come up with a new and improved launch angle. New and improved. And he was part of a group with Cespedes on Saturday talking all – instead of ground balls to third, Ligueras is going to be hitting balls to left field with loft. That's right. That's what he – went to California to work with hitting coach Craig Wallenbach and redesigned his swings the same way that J.D. Martinez and Chris Taylor did. And with Michael Conforto out for at least a month, Ligueras is going to get plenty of time in center field. So he needed a change, no question about it. He's had almost 1,800 plate appearances. And let's see, if Ligueras, we all know he's a terrific defender, but now we see the launch angle situation. DK Lucius here, good morning. We see the launch angle. We see that, we see, and don't forget, anytime a player announces he's made a change, and we see that it has improved his game, you got to take that seriously, man. You have to take that seriously. So here's the change. Working on the launch angle with the same coaches that Coach J.D. Martinez and Chris Taylor. And let's see if they can have the same effect, okay? Let's see. Because if they can, unfreaking believable. And the Yankees, look, Chad Green became a force. Incredible strikeout numbers along the way as he became that force. But we'll see what happens. If a five-game stretch in June ended, middle of June, he surrendered 6 runs in 10 and two-thirds innings. And then after that, he allowed 8 more runs the rest of the year, 49 innings, made some changes. It's all about identifying players who make changes, looking at the results. And if the changes make a difference, I mean, every person who makes a change, that's me, all right, Cha-Cha. That's me, Peter Falk. That's me. I could be Tootsie. I could be Danny DeVito. I could be myself. But who wants to be myself? Nobody wants to be themselves. All right. And, of course, the Yankees, are they sitting around? Are they just sitting around waiting for Mike Moustakas and Neil Walker to pay them? Boy, if the Yankees got Mike Moustakas at third and Neil Walker at second and took their sweet Petunia time with their Andujar and Gleyber Torres, wow, this is going to be... You know, look, there are only a couple of teams trying to make themselves better for this year. This is like the first time that Major League Baseball has actually played a dynasty league. Everybody's worried about next year and the year after, and nobody's worrying about this year. It's a dynasty league. I'm telling you, Major League Baseball has turned into a dynasty league. Pretty soon they'll make it a daily game. And here's the problem with baseball. I've talked about it, and now I have a solution. Now, I need your attention. You may think that this is a joke, and in a way, it sounds funny, and it's probably never going to happen. But I wonder what you think of this. So please, if it's really out, I know it's out there. Now, we all know that one of the problems killing baseball, and I mentioned it the other day, Tampa, New York, 500 pitches, 40 balls put in play between the strikeouts and between the walks and between the the replays and the foul balls, the stadiums, you can't even catch a foul ball. It's so narrow, the out of bounds, the foul balls. You can't do it. And the pitcher's throwing 100 miles an hour. You just try to spoil them and foul them off. So you got foul balls. You got strikeouts. And what is that? No action. No action. And they want to shorten the game. People, you know, there's some people that really believe that the game should be shortened. So how do you shorten a game? And how do you get more action? Does anybody have a remedy? I do. And I know you're going to laugh at it, and I know it's stupid, but, I mean, 25 years ago, did we ever think that we wouldn't even know who the heavyweight champion of the world is? It was the biggest thing in sports. And by the way, I'll get to the by the way in a minute. So let me finish my train of thought here, my choo-choo train of thought. So how do you do that? How do you make the game shorter? Everybody wants the game shorter. Everybody wants more action. Now, listen to this very carefully, and please don't laugh. You can tell me I'm stupid, but don't laugh at me. I really believe that the way to make the game shorter and provide more action is to limit the pitchers to, I don't know what the number is, but let's say six pitches. Six pitches. That's it. Once they have thrown six pitches, then you take out the tee. Now, you can't sit and wait because you can get called down on strikes. So the batters can't wait. After six pitches, it's tee ball. Now, maybe five pitches. Originally, I thought, forget about pitchers and catchers altogether. But if you said five pitchers and that's it, if you're not struck out, if you're not walked, if you don't hit the ball, the tee pops up. The batting tee pops up, and we hit balls off the tee, and there's action. Or you can say just, you know, no more room for pitchers in this game. I mean, they're going to put a guy on second base in the 11th inning. Yeah, it's never going to happen. I understand that, David. Never going to happen. What's going to happen in football if they discover that the next 300 people who pass away all died from are they gonna come up with huge helmets? Something's gonna happen in baseball. So I'm just throwing that out there. I told you it was out there. I told you it was. I'm not saying it's gonna be. And David, to say it's never gonna happen. Well, all right. That's, you know. Of course, it's probably not gonna happen. Okay. So anyway, I'm telling you. That's my theory. Okay. I'd like to say, how would you like to go to a Major League Baseball game and just have no pitchers and catchers, just have a tee and have every player hit? I mean, you think they could hit home runs off a tee without the 90-mile-an-hour fastball generating more, more distance? Do you think that can happen? I mean, hitting off a tee, every pitch there's action. Before you pan it, man, think about it, okay? Don't say nobody would like that. I would like it. So I'm not nobody. I'm one person. So maybe one person. That's not nobody. To have the players play off a tee and every pitch there's action. I don't know, man. So I'll say maybe after the fifth pitch. Look, this is what makes greatness, to come to think out of the box. All right. White Sox have thought out of the box, and this is the reason that everybody's tanking. Why? Because they're going to have eight of the prospects, five out of eight of their top prospects are going to be. I mean, they got these guys. They got Eloy Jimenez going to be in camp. They got him in the Quintana trade. Michael Kopech, they got in the Sale trade. He's going to be in camp. Alex Hansen, second round pick in 2016. He's going to be in camp. Dylan Cease in the Quintana. He's going to be in camp. Luis Robert, international free agent. He's going to be in camp. Jake Berger, third base, first round pick in 2017. He'll be in camp. Dane Dunning in the Eaton trade. He'll be in camp. And Blake Rutherford with the Fraser Robertson trade. Are you kidding? Here come the White Sox. These guys are going to be in camp. And finally, in Colorado, I'm telling you, when did we ever think that we would be drafting the Colorado pitching staff? I mean, unbelievable. Really, when did we think that we're going to draft the Colorado pitching staff? I mean, this kid Anderson could be on the verge of a breakout season. Last year, he missed all of July and August at arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. 3-1 with a 1.2 ERA, 18 strikeouts versus three walks in his last four appearances. Watch out for Anderson. I'm telling you, he's going to be a pitcher. That's just one pitcher. That's one pitcher on the Colorado team. You ready for more? So there's one pitcher that I think I'm drafting in Colorado, okay? That's just one. That's just one. But there's going to be – that's Tyler Anderson, the lefty. Next, Marquez. Went 11-7, right? He had a 4.4 ERA. He led the rookies in Major League Baseball in quality starts. All right, he worked in Venezuela, adding a serviceable third pitch. That's a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, 80-mile-an-hour curve. That's a wicked 1-2 punch. Now he knows he needs a third pitch to take the next step. He's working on a changeup and a slider. Since when did we have three Colorado pitchers to draft? What about Mr. Gray? His next step could be gigantic. What is he? His 2007 season, he had, look, tarnished a little bit by a bad start in the wild card game. Arizona ripped him, for 4 runs, 7 hits, and recorded only 4 outs. And finally, the player that I want you to watch if you're looking for a late round closer is Joe Jimenez. I've talked to him before, but he's never experienced failure until he was bashed for 28 runs in 19 innings. He'd only given up 29 earned runs total in 5 minor league seasons of 167 innings. He's not that bad. And he's finally got a wake-up call realizing that maybe he better start paying attention. You know, you got to pay attention. Okay? His velocity fluctuated every game from 90 miles an hour in a game against Baltimore to 98. Now he's got to start paying attention. So keep in mind, Joe Jimenez, if he starts paying attention, absolutely be the guy who could be the closer by the end of the year. And, of course, in Texas, Evan Grant writes for the Dallas Morning News, says, yeah, the closer is right now Sungwon Oh. He pitched for the Cardinals, of course, and, you know, and the whole thing. Unbelievable slider. So there you go. Claudio is going to be the only lefty in the bullpen, so he's not going to close. The wild card is Mike Minor, but he's, you know, the intent is for him to start. So always getting the job, okay? Always getting the job. They still got this Jake Dickman guy, but I don't know. Look, it's going to be No question about it. Always the guy. Okay? So there you go. That's the news of the day. And now we're going to get into the nitty and the gritty. Okay? We're going to talk about first baseman in the National League. Tomorrow we'll do the American League as we say good morning to Pitches and Glitches. And you'll be hearing from Pitches and Glitches in the next couple of days as well. We got the great Methical. Good morning, Mr. Methical. Nice to have you aboard as well. So we're rocking and rolling. Everybody's here. Okay? Well, not everybody. Where's Donkey Teeth? Where's Mitchell Harston? Come on. Everybody's got to wake them up, everybody. Wake them up. Paul Goldschmidt, we all know what? We don't know Paul Goldschmidt? Let me ask you a question. Paul Goldschmidt could be the third best player in Major League Baseball. If Paul Goldschmidt was walking down the street, would you say hello to him? Would you know who he is? Of course not. That's how baseball doesn't promote its players. Oh, today you'll be hearing Pitches and Glitches, I think at 3 o'clock. Okay, so tune in this afternoon to hear Pitches and Stitches, not Glitches. Oh, man. So, yeah, Goldschmidt broke his hand in 2014. And, look, we all know his speed may decline a little bit as he's getting up there. So, all right, let's just say let's not spend too much time on Goldschmidt other than you wouldn't recognize him when he walked down the street. Of course, Freddie Freeman had the left, lower left, his wrist. His walk rate 10% walk rate 6 years in a row, 40% fly ball rate the last 2 years. So we all know, look, he's a superstar. All right, let's get to the other guy. We all know about Joey Votto as well, and he's got a no-trade clause. But Cody. Wow. 4-for-28, 17 strikeouts in the playoffs. Inside breaking balls. I know about that. Do you think the other pitchers and the pitching coaches and the managers and the owners and everybody else sitting behind the plate hasn't figured that out? I would say Cody Bellinger is a little bit more of a risk than anybody says. So just be careful. Just be careful. Rizzo only had, 10 steals? So just be careful. His stolen base total, 15 home runs at home. The other guy, Bellinger and Hoskins, and I've said many times, the sophomore slump is real, and it shows up in batting average. Okay, I'll do a little piece on that in the next day or two. Shows up in the batting average. Now, Hoskins, 18 home runs, 48 runs in 50 games. He was 6-for-41 against lefties. Now, I've told you time and time again that the new manager in Philadelphia is going to have a committee of five outfielders, including Roman Quinn, if he shows anything. And if that's the case, okay, the fifth-round pick in 2014, Reese Rice, whatever you want to call him, Hoskins, who hit .223, last 94 at-bats, 6-for-41 against lefties. He's not going to play against lefties. Now, that may be good for his batting average, but, you need the at-bats. At-bats count. So just keep that in mind, okay? Hoskins is going to be in that committee of outfielders, probably not playing against lefties. Will Myers, 30 home runs, 75 RBI. One of seven guys who has hit 30 home runs only had 75 RBIs. So here's the team function right there. Anytime you're looking at home run hitters, look, we all know that you can get home runs. Myers had 30 home runs. But when he produces only 75 RBIs, that's a problem. And as much as I like Will Myers, if that team doesn't improve around him, you cannot tolerate 75, 85 RBIs. It's not bad. But you remember what I said in the Control the Draft podcast. RBIs are the hardest category to trade for or get during the season. You don't see these guys coming up from AAA who are RBI guys. That's a 3, 4, 5 hitter. I know a couple of them last year, Bellinger, and I know that, but still, that's unusual, and it's only one or two, and they're so far hyped that you can't afford them. So just be careful. Will Myers, to me, is dropping. It's not because I don't think he'll hit 30 home runs, not because I don't think he'll hit 20 stolen bases. I think it's going to put you in a hole for RBIs. Now, Cha-Cha does like Oscar Mayer, because Cha-Cha himself is a wiener, okay? And he likes other wieners, too. Okay, Ryan Zimmerman, can he duplicate what he did last year? Big exit velocity last year. Big exit velocity last year. Can he keep it up? Look, you can't expect Ryan Zimmerman to have the same year that he had last year. Don't draft last year with Ryan Zimmerman. Is he going to be awful? No, he's not going to be awful. But he's not going to be Ryan Zimmerman. And why do I say that? Only because he practically had that magical year. And as I've said, you've heard me say it many times, magical years rarely appear more than once in a career. They don't go back to back unless you're Alex Rodriguez. Ken Flamia is here, and good morning to Ken. Good to have you with us, Ken. There you go. Whatever you missed, you can just call me at home and I'll repeat the whole beginning of the podcast, okay? I will. That's the big part. You know that I will. Beamer 60 is here. Good morning to the Beamer. That's it. I used to play in Little League, and I was on a team called the Island Diner Beaners. So I love you, Beaner. Carlos Santana. Great walk rate, okay, we all know about that. 37 doubles, 23 home runs, And, you know, he did hit 34 the year before. So we, but look, what a big surprise. I can only tell you, of course, I can't tell you anything that you don't know here about Santana. You know, sometimes when these podcasters and radio shows and they talk about, they go through the, there's some players you just leave out. Carlos Santana, you know, we know he's going to walk and give you a good on base percentage. It's the other stuff like Eric Thames, 11 home runs in April, made 29 appearances in the outfield. Braun is going to bat against lefties, left-handed pitchers. Eric Thames is going to have limited at-bats. Remember, he struggled in the second half of the year big time, so I'm not spending that. Now, if Franco struggles again, okay, now here's what's going to happen, be done. If Franco struggles, remember I said at the beginning of the year that Matt Breen, Philadelphia Inquirer, told us this. If Franco struggles again, and Franco is going to be on a short leash. And if Franco struggles, Scott Kingery could wind up playing third. And he was taking ground balls at third base last year. So they're grooming him in the event that Franco could be traded, or in the event that Franco just not, it doesn't improve. Kingery is the guy. I'm telling you, he's going to be big. Big, and he's taking ground balls. Okay? Be careful of Eric Thames. Brandon Belt, 30% fly ball rate. Okay, big deal. 19% home runs to fly balls. That's high. So look, Brandon Belt, every year we think of the same. Do you think he's any different? Why should he be different? Because he's got Longoria and McCutcheon. Johnny Q, you're right. Franco will be on the bench if he struggles, and Kingery will be there. The first baseman we're forgetting about is Justin Bour. He had a big improvement. Now, reading between the lines last year, we all talked about the fact that they never signed that right-handed hitter to complement Justin Bour. And here you see why. Because he improved tremendously against left-handed pitching. Improved big time against left-handed pitching. 25% home run to fly ball rate. His hard hits were up 3 years in a row. See, I know about this stuff, but you got to include other things. Too many of these people, all the hard hit rate, walk rate, strikeout rate, ISO, FIFO, O-swing, WOBA, XFIP, YFIP. Come on, man. Put it into context like Michael Lynch in your kitchen table does. Let me tell you, Michael Lynch in your kitchen table did one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. And I'm telling you this out loud, up close and personal. Not only every time he said XFIP, OFIP, YFIP, LIFO, FIFO, and he put it into context. Too many people in this industry have no clue what they're talking about, including me. All right. By the way, Brandon Belt, last 2 months, had a concussion. We all know that. Josh Belt, can't leave out Josh Belt. Just can't leave him out. I don't want to leave him out. I'm not going to leave him out. We're going to talk about him in terms of, can he hit more than 255? I don't think so. You could expect Josh Bell's batting average to go down. I would suspect a 245, 250 batting average, so be careful with that with Josh Bell. Now, Ian Desmond, unbelievable. He just keeps hitting. Here he is, playing in Colorado, and we all think Ian Desmond is the end-all. Oh, my God, in Colorado. Except, what, he's got a 62% balls he hits is on the ground. You can't hit the ball. You can't let Coors Field take over when you're hitting 62% of your balls on the ground. Because when that happens, you're leaving your balls on the ground. You hit them in the air. Come on, man, let's go. Hit those balls in the air. And I think Ian Desmond is, boy, he's got to get that launch. Go to the coaches, get the long launch angle. There's Donkey Teeth, and he was hurt. I know he had the broken, what, he have a broken wrist or something? Yeah, so I know that. He was hurt in late April. But still, all the ground balls, okay? Carpenter, he is so vanilla, 50% fly ball rate, and it's 274 BABIP. Because when you have, here's the BABIP. Nobody explains it. When you hit 50% of the balls in the air, they're easy to catch. Ground balls are just tougher to get to than fly balls to right field. There's two away. So your BABIP when you're a fly ball hitter is going to be 274. Your BABIP when you hit a lot of balls on the ground may be higher, but it's misleading, okay? Misleading. Oh, gravity sucks. That's right. All right, Dominique Smith talking about gravity. Man, oh, man, he reminds me of Tony Gwynn. Okay, does that surprise you? He's a gap hitter. He reminds me of Tony Gwynn. But the 45-year-old Tony Gwynn, that's what he reminds me of. Not the Tony Gwynn Hall of Famer in his mid-20s. No, Dominique Smith is Tony Gwynn, but the 45. Yeah, and I know that Carpenter, you're right, B. Don, 321. But lately, man, he has just become vanilla. Logan Morrison, only six home runs against left-handed pitching. So, I don't know. You know, he's got, and hey, look, this is what they'll say on the radio. But top 25 barrel rate. Holy cow. I know that means something, but I'm just looking at Logan Morrison, his career. He had a good year last year. And so maybe he just got it. But, you know, you can't count on Logan Morrison. I don't care if he winds up with the Red Sox or the Blue Sox. I'm not going the extra dollar for Logan Morrison. Reynolds, oh, my God, he faded big time. He only hit 240 on the road. So, and he struck out, what, about 30% of the time. Jose Martinez, he had a bad thumb last year, but watch out. If there's any one player that you want to watch out for in the spring, it's Jose Martinez from the Cardinals. Only had about 300-something plate appearances, 307, if I remember correctly, and 14 home runs. So he's a guy who could change the fortunes of the Cardinals and make Carpenter either expendable or put him somewhere else, and he's not going to take Jed Jerko's spot. He's not going to take Colton Wong's spot unless there's a deal, unless Colton Wong goes to the Yankees, and they didn't see eye to eye last year, Colton Wong and the management. David Robertson for Colton Wong, and have Gleyber Torres play third if Andujar fails. Anything's possible. Okay, everybody, a sincere thank you for everyone who made it in this morning on a Monday morning. The B-Don is here. He's the B-Don. I cannot do a podcast without B-Don. The Beach Bum is here sitting in the beach. The Beamer's 50, or is that 60? I don't care what you are. You're a good guy, Beamer. It's nice to have you here. The Beer Man, Beer here. And the Brooks, Mr. Football, talking baseball. Greg is here. Cha-Cha is always here. So, you know, check your pockets before you leave. Make sure you got your wallet and your watch and you don't have the itches in your groin. Krim is here. David Leisure, the David, is here on his way to that place to get a milkshake. Dirty Eck, you'll be hearing him this year. The DK Loosh, the Dodger Rabbit, love you both. The Donkey Teeth Man, oh, man, love it, Donkey. Ed Heckman and Allison, there he is. Ed Heckman sitting with Allison saying, oh, that's the legend on the air. Easy Kill, the great Fantasy Phil. You got Hernan the Great. Johnny the Q, the IQ Man is here. The Junior, the Slice, the Mythical, the Michael Etch in the Kitchen Table, the Walter, the White Sox Gal, and, of course, you can't do a show without the Zelmo. So take care, everybody. Yes, indeed. Now, here's two things. Don't go away. If you want to be in the Lenny's Legion League, you got to send me an email, LennyMelnick@gmail.com. Otherwise, you're going to be left out. And if you want a gift, send me an email and ask me for the gift, and I'll be happy to send it to you. Okay? Happy to. And I'll tell you, it's a treasure. I'm not kidding. It really is. And it's not a lotto ticket. So I should have made this announcement earlier. If you want the gift, just let me know. And it's history. It's really terrific. And some of you may already have it. I may have sent it to you. But still, if you want it, it's not just for new people. And if you want to be in the league, let me know. Otherwise, who knows what's going to happen. Thanks, everybody. Michael got a ticket driving with a registration. Oh, holy mackerel. I hope the officer listened to the podcast. So we got another guy in the chat room, okay? I'm putting up, here's my thing here, LennyMelnick@gmail.com, okay? There you go. Send me an email if you want a gift and if you want to be in a league. Thanks, everybody.